what exactly happens when a company raises a shit ton of money on Kickstarter, and it's one of those things that just like takes the world by storm, one of the fastest raises in the tech category, period. I don't know. I just feel like when people get their money, it's like, well, do they run away with it? What do they do? What do they build? How do they build? So I figured I would check in and actually find out firsthand.
Wait a minute. Wait a turn minute. On the radio. Turn on the radio. My homie got a new show and it's time to play it, though. Play it, I hope though. You got in tune. Got he in talking tune. Bigger business. Talking bigger he make biz. A lot of moves. Lot of we moves. Talking Scott Catone. I'm saying wait a minute.
So I've got from Monument, I've got Arcan RGS. You get this right?
Yeah, that's
yes,
right.
Close enough. And Hardik Patel, co-founders of this. Welcome to the show, first off.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Scott.
And I guess the first thing I want to start with is, if you explain exactly what your company does, and then I can't wait to learn about how you guys did so well on the Kickstarter, and then we're going to find out a little bit more about like what you guys have done since then. So without further ado, why don't you walk me through, either one of you, walk me through exactly what the company does.
Yeah, let me start with this. Actually, right now we take thousands of photos every day, but the real question is what happens after that? And as we grow these collections and there's a problem with the organization, actually we started Monument by solving our own problem. And it's an intelligent device. It backs up and organizes all your photos automatically with this AI software inside. And we chose Kickstarter because it's a great community. And also, it's a great chance for inventors like us to meet the products with the customers without going to all this manufacturing and costly manufacturing.
Yep.
So you can test your product, your price, your features, and everything. And you basically let all your community build your product and shape your product. And then you start working on that.
I mean, I love Kickstarter. I mean, we've had Charles Adler, the co-founder of Kickstarter, on the show a couple times. I, of course, love the idea behind the community, especially for creators, the ability for you to not take all the liability on in the front end of it. And also, you get a lot of feedback from people who are, you know, whether it's critical or not, of the idea in the company. Whereas, if you go the traditional route, you usually get an investor or somebody who's just like, I don't like the idea. And then that's just the end. Like, the buck stops right there. Versus this is like, oh, well, if we raise another 100,000, we'll be able to fix that critical thing that you don't like. You are not, this is not your first rodeo. You're a multi-time founder with exits. So is this your first time using Kickstarter? Did you use traditional in the past? And how did you like this versus that and so on?
Actually, this is our first consumer product. And we didn't use Kickstarter before. It was our first time. And we learned a lot of things on the way, met with the Kickstarter team and also with the founders and other creators, trying to understand what are the pitfalls and what works, what does not. And we spent almost like 6 months trying to understand how we should be launching our product and also engaging with the oldest users. And we had to go with various stages. First, we needed to understand users first. That was the very essential, the stage. And we talked like hundreds of people trying to understand what are the problems that they're having. And then we launched a Kickstarter and built a community before that. Because I can say 80% of the work that is done for a successful Kickstarter had to be done before this,
yeah.
Before you launch the campaign, because 20% of the work that you all do happens on the Kickstarter. But after Kickstarter, it's another journey.
So you guys, right? Am I right? Is it 900,000 in pre-orders is what you had on Kickstarter? That is insane. Like how you could not have been what you expected.
Yeah. And we were
expecting, like, brings a whole new problem in, because it's like in the original idea, it's like, oh, we've charted out, we're going to do, I don't know, call it a half a million
60K.
$60K. We thought we were going to do $60,000 worth of it. So you've like, you're ready to handle that capacity. And then it's like, boom.
Yeah. I mean, there are the good points and the bad points. Because you're a small company and you're getting all these orders and you learn a lot of things on the way.
Yeah.
It really is a blessing and a curse, just because you're not anticipating, you know, a 6,000 user base initially. And as soon as you release your first model, right, which is our only current model that we have out there right now, they're going to give you a lot of feedback, a lot of technical issues, a lot of bugs. And the issue with that is you have to have a team that can kind of support that. And if you don't have the right guys in place, that can kind of burn you later on, 6 months down the road. Yeah.
So I guess, you know, on the actual like product side of this, you know, one of the hardest parts I found with Kickstarter is that a lot of the companies put an idea, a concept up. It's their sort of beta, and they don't really. Your case might be a little different because, again, it's not your first time creating companies, so you kind of know like what the next steps are. But a lot of times when the Kickstarter companies come on, they've got this general idea. It's kind of a fluid concept, and the users start cracking at it, or they start spending on it, and then like it evolves over time. And they can't release the product in time, and things that kind of change. How did you manage to handle that workflow? How did you manage to make sure that you were able to take in account for some of the feedback you got to make the product better and do that on the fly, but then also sort of stay accountable so that you weren't just a flash in the pan? Because like a lot of times you see these companies who get all the money and then no one ever gets anything out of it. They might get, hopefully they get the product, but even if that sometimes is a question mark.
And I mean, the other day I was reading an article, 80% of the Kickstarter projects fail to deliver on time. Some fail and some takes longer. But in our case, we did our homework a lot. So we had our manufacturer ready and we already done a couple of test runs. And so only thing that we had to do is getting the orders and get the certification and packaging. So we thought everything would be just great.
But, yeah.
So once you start, you meet with a lot of different problems, a lot. So in our case, I had to spend like weeks in China, you know, sweating on the just front of the mold machine and, you know, trying different things and shaping your product. Or just next day, you wake up with the news that some supplier will be delayed for delivering a component for you. So these are just the small parts, but on the other end, you have the software and like the whole big organization that you need to make it running. I mean, thankfully, I mean, our supporters were great and they supported us on every stage of our process, and also our manufacturers and partners were great. And but after that, I mean, it was just the beginning. So all. Everything that you'll do will start after that.
And the other part I think that is typically a challenge, like we work a lot with equity crowdfunding, and so that's always a challenge as well, with the founders telling the story in a way that people can resonate with and understand the problem that you're solving, and that then they can resonate that is a problem I have and that this would be a solution that would solve my problem. How, and you can even use your own example of like telling the story, how did you identify the way, the best way to get people to recognize that that's a problem they have and want to use your service and product?
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, I think, well, initially we gave out a survey and we kind of compiled some feedback. And surprisingly, most people go on vacation. Most people own DSLRs. We recognized that there was a huge user base that had privacy concerns. And so what we did is we matched their concerns with evidence. And that evidence is that most people have SD cards laying around. They have hard drives kind of scattered around the home.
Yeah.
And the process for backing up and organizing all of your content essentially is, you know, I'm going to back up everything to this computer, and this computer now turns into my Disney trip from 2000, right? And you set it aside. And then you back everything up to another hard drive, and that just kind of becomes another trip.
Yep.
There is no easy way to kind of migrate your data onto a hard drive and then have it automatically be organized, which is what we do. We take all of your content, we organize it, and then we spit it back out to you in a mobile application. So I think how we kind of relayed this message to our users was kind of effortless, to be quite honest. We created several videos. We did very little marketing prior to the Kickstarter campaign, which is why we only had an initial goal of 60K.
Yeah.
But for some reason, that message just kind of resonated with people out there, and we were blown away by Kickstarter. I think the challenge here now is kind of creating a brand. Our user experience is reaching somewhat of a hump, and we're kind of moving past that. But now people don't really associate monument, the term monument, our keywords, you know, automatic organization, backing up, cloud service. They don't kind of tie that in with our product. And I think that's a challenge that we're kind of dealing with right now. So our entire play is almost marketing purely.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where we are.
It's interesting to me because I see the problem that you're solving. The funny thing is that there's a million services out there trying to sell. They're like, we'll take your campaign viral, and there's all kinds of stuff. But in the end of the day, of the people I've talked to on the show, on this show or others, that have had extreme success, the vast majority of it walked into it. Yes, they were organized. Yes, they knew what they were doing. They had great messaging, great product, great service. Like at the end, there's all kinds of tricks, and you might get lucky every once in a while by paying enough advertising. But the truth of the matter is, the best products and the most organized delivery always wins out.
Yeah, I completely agree. I don't think in terms of marketing, you really not every company at an early stage needs to hire like a marketing agency, right? There's a lot of quick and dirty tricks that you can do. I mean, you can grow your own social media campaign. You can retweet, reuse content, a lot of copyright work. There's just a lot that can be done in the early stages before you really build out your user experience, whether that is in hardware and software, whatever the case is. I think most people, they get carried away with, you know, trying to iron out and flatten every single detail about the company when they really just need to zone in on one specific thing. And in my opinion, that is the customer experience, right?
Yeah.
Are you there for your customer, and what type of experience are they having with whatever they're dealing with?
And you brought, go ahead.
I have a very funny the thing. Being a startup and also with a limited budget, it makes you really creative and, you know, you're pushing your boundaries, thinking out of the box. So one day I was thinking how I can meet with the potential customers and where to find them. And wherever you read or talk, people say, go outside and talk to your users.
Yeah.
But in my case, I was thinking, how can I find these users? I mean, out on the street, just, you know, the cutting somebody's line, hey, got do you have a couple of minutes? I got a couple of questions. So it sounds weird. And then I find a way. I started spending my time in the electronic stores, just right at the corners where I can find my potential customers. And somebody comes in and I open a conversation. Hey, I'm also thinking about buying this product and why you got this for and how do you manage your photos? And I start asking the questions and dive into question conversation and trying to learn more from the users and what are the, you know, the plus sides and what are the problems they're having. At the end of the day, I was kicked out from the store.
Of course.
But you learn a lot.
I think that's one of the things that's, for me, it's endearing. I think a lot of founders, a lot of entrepreneurs want to get into something, but they're not willing to take that step out in public and be like, yeah, so I'm going to get kicked out of Radio Shack today. But the funny thing is that right after you got kicked out of Radio Shack, they got kicked out of the mall too. So it worked out. But it's interesting. So I guess the next pivot here is, what has happened since then? You mentioned, you kind of alluded to the fact that like you're not known as Monument what it was. It's
right.
It's the future and sort of the way that you storage and all that sort of stuff and organization. How do you deliver the product to everybody, have your user base, and then start building a brand so that you can start building new products for them? I assume that's the plan here.
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal. It's a great question. I can't say that I probably have like a definitive answer for that. Our current strategy right now is just to improve upon our current device that we have and our current suite of applications on iOS and Android.
Yep.
But to get to the next level, I think it is going to be, like I said, marketing. Our entire company is a marketing play. There's a huge learning curve from when it goes from when you say cloud-based storage, you initially think of Google Photos, iCloud. These are the two big players in the space. But what people are unfamiliar with is more of a technical side to that, which is personal storage. So in that category, you have like network-attached storage devices. And I think it's a challenge of kind of distilling this complexity of in-home storage devices and how to use something like that and kind of breaking it down for your average consumer. And I think that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to, you know, break our messaging down. You know, it's very easy to use. We're trying to create a lot of video content demonstrating this. We're trying to get a lot of case studies, a lot of testimonials showing just how easy to use.
So like, I am as average as it gets from a consumer standpoint.
Yeah.
So when I look at this, like I have basically, I used to carry around all these like little hard drive things and stuff. Now I basically just rely on the cloud, and I know it's probably a huge mistake, and I'll pay for it someday. But what is the differentiator for me if I'm right now? I back everything up on Apple Photos Cloud, whatever. What am I potentially losing out on? What's the advantage to taking pictures and going straight to you?
Yeah, first of all, for the Apple's platform, you're locked into Apple's standards and devices. For instance, if you want to see your photos on your PC, then you cannot simply do this. And you're limited with the storage that you have. So right now, as of today, you have 2 terabytes of storage available, so you can purchase. But as your collections grow and you need to pay more, and especially when you have other family members, then the whole game changes. So compared to the iCloud, first, you don't have to pay anything.
Yeah.
And two, you can expand your storage as you want it. Like today, maybe 2 terabytes. Maybe next year you want to double the capacity with the 4 terabytes. It creates additional backups for you, so your content is not only at one place, you have different copies.
Yeah.
And you can also invite your family to share all those photos together. And we are also trying to improve how users interact with their photos. So at the CES last January, we launched our Alexa integration. So you can come home and say, Alexa, show my summer photos in Chicago, or with your kids. So you just give the commands, and the monument starts displaying those photos on your TV. So we are adding a new dimension, how you browse your photos. So we're not only after storing or backing up your photos, but also enhancing your experience with your photos and with your loved ones.
Which is nice, because I mean, it gets to a point, like if you have people who use Google or people who use Apple, people who take a picture, like you said before, on a DSLR, the only way to commonize that is to have the person with the DSLR upload to their computer, save it to their Apple, and then share it with their family, assuming you're on Apple. And if you're not, you're not shared on that. And then do it again and give it to Google or whatever.
Yeah, so I mean, with us, it's quite different, right? Essentially, in our device, we have an SD card reader.
Yep.
So let's say you come back from a trip from Spain, take out that SD card out of your camera, just plug it right into the device, it backs everything up, and then it spits it right back out to you in the mobile app. It's already backed up to the hard drive. It's organized, the face recognition, the date, the location.
It's like having all that stuff on the go, but it's universal.
Exactly, right. I mean, you don't have to jump through multiple steps of taking that SD card, putting it into a computer, putting it onto a hard drive, then putting it into a cloud, then maybe have to even organize it after, right? This is just a one quick step. So it's really simple.
You're also forgetting one more step. So your wife is constantly asking, send me those photos.
Yes.
Send me those photos.
Just got back from San Diego and I got the send me those photos. Actually, I was the one saying send me the photos, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the great thing with Monument also is that you can connect multiple users. So like right now we're geared towards family.
Yeah.
Our base is mostly family users. So, you know, they have multiple kids. It's a wife and a dad. It's a girlfriend, boyfriend. And they want to create albums together. They want to share everything. They want it all automatically tagged. We do scene recognition. And so that's the convenience of it. And I think where we're going next is more prosumer. So we started on this kind of friendly aspect of, you know, easy to back up, easy to organize. But now we're going towards prosumers, where users, professional photographers, Instagrammers, where they're using Adobe and other creative suites, they have a different need set. And we're going to go ahead and find out what they need and then match their needs and build a platform for them. Yeah.
Very cool. I love this. And then you guys also offered up 30% or $30 off an order placed on getmonument.com using the Technori promo code, which is awesome. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yay.
Where, obviously, I just said getmomentum.com. Where do people go for the apps and all that other stuff? Or you just start at Get Momentum and then
Monument, yeah.
Yeah. Why do I keep saying Momentum? Get Monument.
You're not the only one, trust me.
But there's no, like, Momentum Awards, that's what I was just reading an article, Momentum Awards, that's why.
Yeah, Monument is, we gave this name because, like, this is the place where you keep all your photos, and one day you look back, everything is there, and you find your memories there, like a monument, it stays.
Yeah. No, so. I got it. I'm an idiot. That's what happened there. So getmonument.com.
Getmonument.com. Yeah, you can find our apps. If you search in the App Store, just Monument Photo, it'll pop up. We're not quite as big yet to just search Monument for us to come up.
Soon enough.
Yeah, soon enough. But yeah.
Get enough pictures and you will be. Yeah, I mean, at some point.
We're working on it.
Very cool. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you guys so much for coming and taking the time.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Of course. Scott. You can catch this episode and more at technori.com. Download the podcast on iTunes. Stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori. Or you can follow me at Katoon. Boom. That's a wrap.